Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, it's Failing Better. With me, Sean McLaughlin. Johnny Pelham is also here.
I am. Hello. How are you today?
I'm good. Very musical sort of way of asking that question, Johnny.
I thought, let's turn this podcast into a musical.
That would be...
And then I instantly thought, let's not do that.
Bad. I was about to say bad, not good. I was about to say bad.
There are people drilling up the road outside my house. So if you can hear any drilling noise, it is the sound of infrastructure being built in the Prestwich area.
Yeah, it's not the sound of your internal monologue crashing down the door of your subconscious.
It's so not. That'd be quite a scary thought, though. Do you think what metaphor do you think is a good metaphor to describe how people get to their subconscious thoughts? Do you think it is a jackhammer penetrating into your subconscious?
I don't want to talk about anything penetrating anything. Let's move past this. Thank you very much for listening. Do give us a 5-star review if you've liked what you've heard so far.
It's been pretty good content, I'd say.
It's some pretty good content, baby. Long-time listeners, just a reminder, we are doing our live show on the 3rd of November. Tickets have not gone on sale yet, but it's part of this podcast festival. But 3rd of November in London, do come on down, and we'll let you know when tickets are available.
That was a good bit of admin, I thought. I thought you nailed the admin there.
Well, I think we've already recorded our next episode, and we didn't do any of that. So
you thought admin heavy.
I'm gonna admin at top and tail.
Oh my
this.
God, you're gonna double admin.
I think we might double admin this.
Listeners, if you're excited for the podcast ahead, which I know I am, then you can really look forward to more admin later on.
Admin's what makes the world go round. You know, like sometimes governments come in, they go, "We're gonna cut the red tape, we're gonna get rid of the bureaucracy." I'm like, more bureaucracy, more red tape. Give me something to do in my life.
Yeah, more forms, baby. I'm all about forms. I love telling people that I'm a white British male, that I'm, you know, all the other admin stuff you have to do.
This is a curious thing. I always say white British male, but am I? Or am I white other?
I think you're white British. What's the question? Aren't you just white British?
I guess so.
What made you think that you might be white other?
Well, my mum's not from here. My dad's sort of parents aren't from here.
Where's your mum from?
She's from America.
What? WT fuck? I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
I don't think so. Maybe I did, but I've forgotten it.
Well, that's probably more likely, isn't it?
And so where... And your dad's not from here either.
Well, my dad was born here, and raised here, I suppose, but his parents are both Irish, and so he spent loads of time there.
It sounds like you are white. You were born in Britain, though.
Look, I was born in Britain. I was raised in Britain.
But you were made.
And I will die
in the RAF.
I was made in the RAF.
Those adverts are weird, aren't they? Because they're like, yeah.
I was born in Carlisle, but I was made in the RAF. It's always basically just like, oh, I'm a loser. Then I went to the RAF. I went to a disco.
Yeah. And what did you do in the RAF? Did you drop any bombs on innocent people? No.
It was, I don't know. What do the RAF do day to day?
I guess, according to the advert, they just sort of play snooker.
Sort of sit around on oil rigs, I think.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Play cards. Some of the best mates I've ever made in my fucking life.
Good accent, that. That was a good accent.
Thank you.
I'm not going to do an accent.
Do you want to do a Newcastle accent, Johnny?
I was born in the RAF, but I'm actually just a man from fucking South Shields.
It's not awful. It's not as bad as some of the other ones.
Thank you. Not awful. Get that on a poster. Get our pictures.
Did you not know about my American heritage?
No, I didn't.
My mum's a full-blown Yankee Doodle.
Shut the fuck up.
Cowboy hat.
Where's she from?
She's from Minnesota.
Oh my god. Is Minnesota a little lefty liberal state? Is that right?
It sort of is, but I think these days it's hard to sort of know what that is.
Yeah, it just means they don't want to overtly kill a Mexican.
It's Midwest, which I think is sort of the most normal part.
And so, how often do you go back to America? Because you're going to America.
I'm going to America in two. When you're listening to this, listeners, I will be in America.
So, do you have an American passport?
Yeah.
So you don't have to go through. You just wander straight through. Do you change your accent and pretend you are American?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear your American accent.
Howdy, partner! It's great to be back here in the USA! Well, I'm gonna go watch some NASCAR racing, boys! Yeah!
Quite high pitched.
I'm a very different person.
Your balls haven't dropped in America.
Balls have sort of half dropped. I think he's the guy I am in America, sort of a bit inbred. Maybe there was a bit of money from like oil or some sort of cotton plantation. Like, there's definitely some weird family history that you're.
But it's made it worse, if any, because the money, it feels like it's given you privilege, but really it's meant that you're emotionally detached from your parents, and that comes out in your voice.
An entitlement and a complete inability to actually function in the modern world.
And he sounds a lot like me, your American, your American sort of alter ego.
Oh, howdy! Welcome to Failing Meta. Yeehaw! I'm doing me a clip. She's gonna be ready in about a week.
I don't like the American version of you.
No, maybe I'll just keep it.
He's too squeaky.
It's very odd that I'm American because I'm really the most British person.
I was just going to say that. You don't have any of that American dream sort of...
I have none of that. But you my really mum probably doesn't either. That's why she moved to fucking Portsmouth.
That's a downgrade. Portsmouth, I think...
My mum moved from San Francisco to Portsmouth. What a life.
I fucking hate Portsmouth. Mainly for my own...
Hey! I was born in Portsmouth.
Were you? I hate Portsmouth. Mainly because, right... For my tour, my agent was like, "Hey, we're gonna try and put a date in Portsmouth." And I said,
"Guildhall,
probably. I don't know."
Yeah,
I was like, "Look, I've never been to Portsmouth in my life. I don't think it's gonna sell well." He was like, "Johnny, it'll sell well." Anyway, a week before I'm about to go to Portsmouth, we sold two tickets. It's a 270-seater. So I go on local Portsmouth radio, try and sell the fucking thing. Yeah, Marine FM, or whatever it's called.
Spinnaker FM.
Talk about it, the show, for 10 minutes. Get an updated sales thing. It's gone down to one.
The DJ's pulled out. Well, I did a tour show in Portsmouth. I actually did my last tour show. Was at Portsmouth in the Guildhall. Really great crowd. All buzzing, full room.
I hate Portsmouth.
Have you never been to Portsmouth? Portsmouth is an interesting city. I was born there. My parents lived there for a little bit. And my dad always said it's weird. It's like a post-industrial northern town that's in the south.
Interesting. So why doesn't it have fishing and all that shit? Is it just because that isn't really a... Because it's on the...
Well, yeah, but it's like, how much fish is there?
Well, that's a great question. Less than we'd hope for, according to
Bill Gates. How many fish are there? Because we keep being told there's plenty more in the sea. But genuinely, how many are there? And do you really want to eat fish that have been caught in Portsmouth Harbour?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. They always say this tuna caught in the UK waters. I mean, yeah, but if that's in, like, Southampton, I know I'm the one born.
Thank you. Yeah, Cornwall I can live with, but everywhere... I was like, oh, it was... Yeah,
caught in Liverpool, was it? It's probably got meth. Just a meffed up British fish.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, whenever I go back to Brighton, I always see people like, and I used to go jumping in the river in the harbour in Southwick when I was a kid, and there was people fishing. I go, this like oil tankers driving past. I don't want to eat that.
It's crazy that there's been a big scandal in the UK recently because sewage companies just keep pouring shit into our rivers, and that can't be good for anything, can it?
Yeah, but it's not like they were ever great.
I don't
recall a time where, like, it's not like we're living in the Mediterranean.
But I think, it does feel like we're a failing country in the UK. I think that is indicative of the fact that we're just shoving shit into our rivers. Like, it feels like there should be some infrastructure built that means we don't have to pour them directly into the rivers which sustain wildlife.
You do think you should put them into at least some sort of deep sea or something?
It feels that way. I mean, I don't know what the best way to deal with the shit situation is. A little pun there on the word shit.
It seemed to have caught you by surprise, that
one. Yeah, it did. And then I thought, I'm not letting that go. That's the best thing I've ever said on this podcast. So you're going to America.
Speaking of failing countries, I'm going to America. Just to build up the failing better brand, really.
That's the exciting.
Logic. Yeah, yeah. So this time next week, this will be the Tuesday episode. I'm going to be in New York City.
My God, I've heard of that. It's like our York, isn't it?
It's very much like our York. The apples are bigger.
Hello.
And you're not allowed to go to sleep, apparently. It's the city where you're not allowed to go to sleep.
God, that sounds quite intense, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like Squid Games.
You would die so quickly in Squid Games.
Never enter Squid Games. I'd never enter it because the point of it is they go, oh, you can win loads of money. And I just go, I'd rather be a pauper.
Isn't it people who don't have any money don't get put into it? I can't remember the premise.
There's usually some reason, like I think all of them had massive debts or something.
Yeah, something like that. When we wouldn't get in debts because we don't have any ambition to buy anything that you'd need to.
We don't have debts because we have so many Patreons that finance our high-flying lifestyle.
Yes, but if you do want to become a Patreon, because, I mean, you're going to America soon. That's got to be costing, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going for work, so a lot of the costs are sort of being covered.
Imagine, Sean, if you could speak to a little 20-year-old Sean now. Let's imagine that person, probably, you know, very spotty, I imagine, deep self-loathing, sort of awful little child, and you would say to him, one day, little 20-year-old Sean, you're going to go to America for
little,
work.
Little. You think I hadn't stopped growing by 20?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine you're still tall for humans, but for who you
go, no, it's not. It's not the Burj Khalifa. It's Sean. It's me. It's you from the future. Oh, by the way, the Burj Khalifa becomes a massive building.
What do you think? Can you imagine that little 20-year-old Sean found out that you were going to America for work? He'd be so proud of you.
Well, yeah, he'd probably think it was like, I don't know, gun work or sex work.
But it's not gun work.
He wouldn't have thought it was like comedy work. He'd have been like, oh, you've probably got a job you're probably like licking stamps for the FBI because you're a snitch or something like that.
Do you think that's what the FBI do if you're a snitch? They make you fly you out to New York to lick stamps.
We need someone to lick our stamps. Let's get a good old British snitch exchange program.
But that is exciting. Little 20-year-old.
It's very exciting.
I'd be so
proud
of you.
Well, I very much like New York. I've been once before and it's amazing. You know, it is like London. But I really like London, so there you go.
I've never been to America. Is it? I always feel it's a bit like, I don't have that much interest in going, actually.
Well, I've just been to Canada and I do bang this drum a lot, but I do feel like Canada's sort of the best of both. Mm. Like you have that North American style living, but you have, you know, a welfare state and a decent education system and stuff like that.
So what are you doing in? Do you have any plans for your week in America?
For fun,
yeah.
I'm going to see the New York Yankees at one point.
Yankees is baseball.
Baseball.
And baseball goes on for like 6 hours, doesn't it? It's a bit like.
Apparently, they've brought in a new rule this season to make the game shorter.
Oh, really?
Something like they can't take as much time getting ready to pitch. That's what someone told me. Because someone invited me to another game and I was like, I can't do all these games. I can't go out there and just watch baseball. I've got to be out there pounding the pavement trying to build up failing better.
Well, I'm assuming when you're at the New York Yankees, you're going to try and pitch them to sponsor this podcast. I mean,
yes.
That's a natural fit.
Yes. I think we're going to... They're probably going to be like, look, we don't need any new sponsors. And I'm going to be like, no, I'm not here to get... to be a sponsor. I want you to sponsor us. I want us to be sponsored by the New York Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, and New York Yankees are like the Man United of baseball, are they?
Yeah, they're like the biggest, they're the richest, they win the most.
It just makes sense that that'd be us.
I think it's a meeting of two equivalent brands.
I agree.
For quality around the world.
Yes, that is exactly how you should pitch it.
That's what I'm going to say.
And also, to get in... I think you're probably going to have to like a strap a bomb to yourself or something. Or I don't want
to What do you want? What do you want? I want a sponsorship deal with the New York Yankees. I want them to support my podcast. I mean, I think the numbers would go up. The numbers would go up, and I think most people listening would be like, yeah, you could tell something was going to happen.
It'd be such a weird way to, because I'd probably wake up, you know, my phone's got quite a lot of notifications. What's happened? Oh, Sean has taken a prank too far.
I'll tell you one thing, actually, I was going to ask you. I'm going to Los Angeles, and I've not really looked into the trip. Los Angeles is fucking... there's no public transport. Well, yeah, I mean, there is a bit of public transport, but I looked into... Every time I go on a Reddit thread about it, they always go, oh, yeah, you see, like, homeless men being decapitated up there, which is not something I'd look to do on a trip. Should I go to Disneyland?
Yeah, I think
I've never been to Disneyland.
You've got to go to Disneyland.
But it's 100 quid. I don't... What? And it's 100 quid, and it's an hour from my hotel, like an hour and a half from my where I'm staying. So I'd have to get, like, an Uber for, like, an hour.
I always think this one, when else are you going to be in LA? I think just spend the money. It's like when you're in the fucking, you know, you're in the desert, get on a camel. Like, because you're never going to be in that place again. Because I was in, when I was in Tanzania, climbing Kilimanjaro, like an absolute legend, that was a safari, and it was quite a lot of money, and everyone's like, oh, I don't want to go. It's like, we're never going to, when the fuck else are we going to be at
a... That's sort of how I view it, with LA in particular. New York, I think I'll go back to again, because... But LA, I don't know.
LA,
but also,
famously...
I don't know if I want to go to Disneyland then. There must be other stuff I could... Because Disneyland is just a theme park, right?
It is interesting, that. But what is... I guess you...
There's
LA...
a Disneyland in Paris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe you just go to... Just go one of those tours around people's houses. Try and see, like, Scarlett Johansson's house and Nicolas Cage's house. And, you know, that's what you do.
What? Shall I look that... Shall I look what up?
Yeah.
Tour of stars' houses. But what? I don't care where stars live.
I don't even. It feels such a weird thing, that, to me. Because what you do is go and get in a bus and then just, like, take a picture of someone's house. It's a bizarre...
It is really weird. Come see the Hollywood sign on a Hollywood tour. I can't... Well, yeah, look. Look, it's Robert De Niro's second home, even
yeah, exactly,
though he doesn't live
yeah.
there anymore.
And what do you... I guess what... LA's not really famous for anything other than being famous. You know what I mean?
That's like, what I don't get. I'm
yeah,
going
yeah.
there. People go, oh, are you doing the sights? I don't know what the sights are.
I don't know what the sights are.
I know
are.
There's the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll probably see that straight away. Yeah. And I go, well, that's that then.
I do know what you mean. There's no cultural that I can think of that I'm like, oh, I'd love to do that in LA. Maybe you should try and get an agent in LA. Do you have an American agent?
Well, yeah, I'm going to try and do stuff like that, I think.
Have you got any gigs lined up?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. I'll do gigs.
That's fun.
I'll do gigs. I'm doing gigs. I'll do meetings. I know a few people out there. Maybe I'll try and have some friends. But
who are you?
So far, like, I looked at where I was staying. They put me up in a hotel for a few days, and then I had to pay for my own. I thought, I'll just go near there. And then I thought, oh, I'll go to the beach one day. And I looked, it's a 5-hour walk to the beach.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And then I said, all right, I'll go to Disneyland. It's a 22-hour walk to Disneyland.
It looks like you're going to have to get your walking boots.
Yeah. Big time. So
you're not sure what you... I don't know. If any of our listeners have ever been to LA and know what you should do out there, then do get in touch.
I think we've asked this question before on the pod and been met with... crap suggestions nowadays. I'll just go and mess about. Just want to eat burgers, I think. I'll just go eat burgers. That's what
I think you're
going to
get.
That's what people do in America, don't they?
It is. I think that's literally it. Because one of the few things I know about American culture is that their food portions are massive.
Yeah. I can live with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been very disciplined this year with the old food.
And you let it all go in America for 2 weeks.
Let it all go. I'm going to go for a hike around Griffith Observatory Park. Griffith Park is near where one of the places I'm staying. Apparently, it's a huge park where the Hollywood sign is, but there's trails there and you can do hikes. So I'll just do that. And there's a Western Museum, so I might go there. It's for, like, cowboys and Indians and stuff. I'm sure that neither of those are the politically correct expression now. But
cowboys must be, surely.
Cowboys probably fine. But I meant, like, it's my, like, Old West.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but imagine the fury if they tried to, like, get rid of the word cowboys. People would be so angry. They had to call them, like, horsey men with peculiar hats. Look, everyone, we can no longer use the word cowboys. It has to be horsey men with peculiar hats.
I was sort of going through a bit of a cowboy phase earlier this year when I was reading about cowboys.
Dressing up as a cowboy?
Dressing up as one. Sort of going into saloons, just opening fire at people.
I'd love you as a little cowboy. Will you wear
a little
hat?
Cowboy? I think I'd probably be the tallest cowboy in the West, Johnny.
And I feel like this is your first pitch meeting. You walk in LA, you go...
The tallest cowboy in the West.
You walk in, a normal man. And then
Statue of Liberty, but with a hat. Solving Western mysteries.
That's in, I like that. Has there been like a detective show set in the Wild West? Like Murder, She Wrote meets like John Wayne. That's what
Murder,
I'm thinking.
Murder, She Rode Into the Sunset.
Hello.
That is actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
A mystery show set then. I mean, I guess the thing is Red Dead Redemption, there was elements of that. I don't know if you ever played those games.
I did.
There'd be times where you were like, oh, I've got to find out who did this to me.
But I think that's never been on TV. I think you can be the... I think you've got the charisma, the beauty, and the haughty demeanour to be the lead of a Western detective. And you put on you pretend to be American, you put on your accent, and you go around solving crimes in the West.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Hi there! What's going on, everybody?
And can I be your sidekick?
Here's my sidekick, Lil Jojo.
Hey, I'm Lil Jojo. Hopefully I don't fall into...
this literally sells itself. Here's Lil Jojo. He gets up there to chimneys.
So good. They named me twice. I'm Lil Jojo. And I'm gonna try and help Sean solve the problems. Well, I might fall into a well occasionally. Uh-oh.
Gotta get Lil Jojo out of the well.
My catchphrase is, uh-oh, I've fallen into a well again.
Yes. Your catchphrase also sort of is a plot point.
Yeah, every episode.
Yeah.
I'm like Kenny in South Park.
So you've never been to America, but have you ever wanted to go? Where do you want to visit on this earth that you've never been? That's a bloody good question, isn't it, Johnny?
Good question. I'd like to visit a little town called Inner Contentment. No, never.
I'll get the wellness train. Yeah. Uh-oh, it's a rail replacement bus.
This documentation does not get you here, sir.
No.
I'd like to go to South America. I think I'd like to go to Brazil.
How do you think you'd survive there? How do you think you'd do?
I guess quite quickly I'd sort of establish myself in the crime gangs in the favelas, move to the top.
Yeah, of course.
I think I'd probably I'd move there for 6 months, become leader of a big gang by the end, and then write about it in a book, move back to the UK and do a good book about it.
What would the book be called?
My Time on the Streets of Brazil.
It's a very good title. You're very good at coming up with book titles.
Thank you.
I don't mind me saying that. So you want to go to Brazil. What would you like to do at Brazil?
I think I'd just like to go to the carnival. And I think that South American spirit, they always feel so like joyous. I'd quite like to be around that as a sort of emotionally dead Englishman. It'd be quite nice.
Do you think it would sort of infect you and you'd find yourself sort of dancing? I mean, did you ever go to like Notting Hill Carnival when you lived in London? Or did you ever go to Pride in Manchester or anything like that?
I don't really do fun things, Sean. It's not really my style.
Maybe that would be a good sort of litmus test to how much you'd survive in the Rio Carnival.
I mean, it'd be interesting if I went to the Rio Carnival and they just had to shut it down. just like a Dementor from Harry Potter. I just wander around sucking joy.
That'd be good. I'd love to do South America. I want to do Peru, and I want to go to Buenos Aires. And
if we get enough patrons, first patron special we go to the Rio Carnival.
I just don't think that's a good start for us.
Why not?
I think we should start a bit smaller than that, don't you think?
Right. Fair enough. If we get enough patrons, we go to a fish and chip shop in Scunthorpe.
We go to a fish and chip shop. First fish and chip shop, and then we go to Rio Carnival.
Yeah, all right.
Part of me, I know it sounds weird, but part of me is going to miss fish and chips when I'm over in a bloody
How often
America.
Do you have fish and chips? I find your food patterns bizarre. How
what,
often
in
do
what
you
way?
Because you're going to America for 2 weeks and you're saying you're going to miss fish and chips.
Every day, every lunch and dinner. Every lunch and dinner is fish and chips.
You just go, the usual, please, sir.
No, I don't. I just have bags of chips a lot. I don't know if that's a cultural thing over there.
I mean, they have
I haven't
fries,
had any
they?
This year because I've been trying to like keep good, and now I'm like going to America. I'm going to let it all hang out.
So I don't understand how you're going to miss it if you've not eaten it.
Yeah, but I miss it now.
Yeah. How much of your life do you think is you resisting the urge to eat a chip?
A higher percentage than I would care to admit.
Do you love chips or your wife more? Long pause. Long pause.
No, I love my wife. I love my wife. She's great. But nothing beats a chip. Nothing beats a chip in life. Nothing beats a chip.
I guess chips is a simpler love. It's just salt, it's vinegar, it's delicious. With a wife, there's washing, there's, Yeah,
there's, I mean, there's, salt, there's plenty of salt and vinegar as well.
And there's sex, which is a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's better to have, it's better when I'm having sex with my wife than with the chips. But I'll give it a good go.
What is this sauce on this chip?
Move on. What? How often do you eat fish and chips then? What's your diet at the moment, actually? You're looking good. Do you mind me saying that?
I've started doing sit-ups. You inspired me to do some sit-ups.
I've stopped.
Oh, we're never in sync. We're in the opposite of women.
You're doing sit-ups.
In a sitcom. Yeah, starting some sit-ups, lost a bit more weight. It got bad for me when I realised that I was on, like, first-name basis with the takeaway man who does doner kebabs. I thought that's when you think I have to stop.
Was he calling you boss man? Because no, I regret to inform you, he calls everyone that.
No, he was calling me Jonathan James Stacey Pelham. You're my full
James
name.
Stacey Pelham from the Failing Better podcast. Yeah.
I'm saying, your mum is called Rowena and your dad is called Jeff. How are you today, my valued customer?
Your mum is called Rowena?
Yeah, yeah. Or?
That's a name you don't hear much anymore.
Ro for short. Pretty clever.
Or Wiener.
That was her, but then she got bullied at school called Wiener.
Wiener.
If someone was called Moina and you were at school, they're being called Wiener every day of their life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so what? You're back on a health kick? Pre-summer health kick?
Sort of. I had a few beers last night, so that hasn't helped. But on the whole, I'm trying to lose a bit of the old timber.
What's your aim? Is it because Edinburgh Fringe and you want to be in ship shape?
I just want to look less horrible when I don't have my shirt on. You know what I mean? Like, I just look at myself.
You can't be setting those sort of ambitions, Johnny.
It's just, I look like a sort of, you know, like the moon has those craters and they're just like cavernous. And I just feel like that's what my body looks like. It's just like a grim sort of barren wasteland. And I think, like, you know, Sophie should want to have sex with me. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, why? You know what I mean? Like, there's just nothing. I just
Sophie should want to have sex with me. That's the clip.
That is the clip.
That's the clip.
We atter in it. And I mean, that'd be horrible. Let's not do that. But you know, I just like to look. I'd like to look at my body and feel some, because I'm all for body positivity, but sometimes you've got to get real with your body.
I'm the same. I just go, God. And that's what I'm dreading most about LA, is like everyone's going to be fit.
Yeah, and you're just going to look like a weird vampire in the corner.
I'm at the best I've been in years, and I'm the ugliest person in this postcode.
LA will be brutal. LA,
or it might not be. Who knows? It might be fine. Might be.
And
normal.
The thing about LA is you can have the moral superiority of knowing that you haven't, like, shoved any, like, fat out of your body or shoved it into your nose or anything. You know what I mean? Like, at least you got this. Look, I might look fucking awful.
Imagine if I just come back with loads of plastic surgery.
I would love that.
I just try and style it out. You go, sure, it's a tusk you've got.
Yeah, duck beak.
Hello. Quack, quack.
Would you ever get plastic surgery?
I've already had all the, you know, I've already had penis reduction surgery.
To nothing?
No, I genuinely did have penis reduction surgery on the NHS. That's not even a joke.
Really?
It's not a joke.
Tell us about that then. So why?
Call it a circumcision, but I. Ew.
Thank you. Do you get circumcisions on the NHS?
Mine was.
Is that because it was a medical thing? And did you have a smelly foreskin?
It was a mistake. I went in with a broken leg. While we're here, we can't sort that.
This guy's penis is a disaster.
This guy's penis is a death zone. With some serious reconstructive surgery on it.
And this new COVID is forming in his foreskin.
I would have plastic surgery. I mean, I do. I always used to say I'd never get it. And I'd judge everyone. And then now I'm showing visible signs of aging for the first time. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, I do get it.
Yeah.
It isn't nice
yeah.
seeing loads of wrinkles around your eye. It's not optimum. But I don't really mind. I mean, it's easier for men, I think. How about you, Johnny? Would you get plastic surgery? Sorry, I'll rephrase it. When will you realise you need plastic surgery?
Well, I guess it's interesting, isn't it? Can you improve perfection? Philosophical question, that. Let's write
an
essay
on it.
But
let's focus on the question I asked, shall we?
I don't think I ever would. I guess one thing for me is, if I started, where does it end with plastic surgery? Because sure, I could get I could like get a better nose. It doesn't look like a question mark. But then that instantly throws the question like, well, what about my lips? They're clearly not very good lips. Then eventually, what am I? I'm just like fucking...
I know exactly what you mean.
I'm like that's... Jordan. I'd just get massive tits, whack them out on national newspapers.
I thought you meant the country.
Well, both. It's a versatile word, Jordan.
It's a very versatile word. Yeah, I know what you mean in that regard. No, I think we're both perfect the way we are.
Thank you. But we should diet because our bodies are terrible.
Yeah, we should diet and we need to work out more. I need to get back into doing my arm stuff. I lost track of that when I was doing my when I was in Canada, and now I need to get back into doing that.
I'm going to
really. I felt really good about it.
Did you?
Really good and like strong. And then I just let it go for 2 weeks and it just goes so quickly.
It goes so quickly. But it comes back quickly.
Does it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the thing about like health is it you lose it then, but if you've done it, then it does come back quite quickly. Interesting question I've got for you. How much should shame be a guiding force in your life? Like, because I think we're sort of scared of shame, but then also me being ashamed of my body is probably the thing that makes me do sit-ups, which is probably a good thing.
Well, I was raised Catholic, so shame is sort of the core building block of who I am.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't. What's wrong with shame?
Well, I guess it's quite a negative emotion, is it? Because it's not. It's like body positivity would say, like, get better if you want, but fundamentally love yourself. But that, I mean, loving myself, having talked about this on the podcast before, feels a million miles away from realistic to me.
I just don't even know what that is.
I know,
what do you mean? What do you want? I look in the mirror, just go, brilliant, love all that.
Yeah, it's impossible. Happened. And if you were to like, you know, like CBT is all about changing thought patterns. There's no way I could ever realistically look at myself in the mirror and go, delighted by this.
What a result.
Yeah, lovely situation. Like, and if I did that, it would be psychopathic, I think, because I'd be so lying to myself.
The people who love themselves and think they're great are the worst people I've ever met.
Yeah. And so people say, people say, I am who I am. And you think, yeah, we'll just be better.
Yeah, you
boring,
don't have to be
ignorant
that.
Prick. Yeah,
don't
yeah.
Don't be that then. Well, I am what I am. It's not people go, yeah, you know what, I am what I am. I shoot from the hip, I say it like it is. Just don't. Yeah. Just don't do that.
And people, because I think we're obsessed in this country with self-discovery, where surely life is about self-creation as much as it's about discovery. Where people are like, I am who I am. Just be better. That's the existential possibility of being a human being, is that you can change. Be better. And shame is a way to improve yourself. This is a self-help podcast.
I think it is a self-help episode. What's that thing where they say, I am what I pretend to be? Is that phrase? I don't know who said that.
There's that other one, isn't there? Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
I hate that, though. Because it's not true, is it? But I can think I'm a great scientist. I'm wrong.
Well, but do you think you are a great scientist?
No, but if I did, it wouldn't make me a great scientist.
What do you think you are, then? And let's see if they're right or wrong.
I think I am. I guess in my heart, in my soul, I think I'm a pathetic worm boy.
You are that. My problem is I think this is a good podcast. Now, what does that make? Now, what does that do for this? That's a spatter of the works on this theory.
Well, I think that's when mental... Because I think if you genuinely think this is good, then clearly you've got some form of psychosis. And we need to medicate that out of you. There's no... You know, the wiring in your brain is faulty.
Yeah, if you turn up to a hospital and you go, I'm a fan of the Failing Better podcast, they should be a special wig. Go, all right, okay, right this way. No. I don't care if you're giving birth. This woman's a fan of the Failing Better podcast. Of course.
That's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting about... Because I think that is the problem with self-help, isn't it? Is that it locates agency solely in the individual. And actually, that isn't where agency is, because it's often cultural or mental health or all those other things.
I always think, oh, if I didn't have so much to do, I'd actually discover myself.
Mm.
And I'd be able to, you know, and society's always pushing down on me and it pushes us into certain lanes and molds us into whatever it needs us to be. And I can never be who I actually feel I can be inside. But whenever I have a week off or something, there's nothing here.
Without
society, without all the wheels of civilization moving around me, I'm nothing.
Because we're nothing in the abstract, are we? I think that's why I'm not that much of a fan of the self-discovery stuff. Because I feel like it implies that there's some essential self waiting to be discovered and unleashed upon the world. Whereas actually we're creators. We create who we are through making mistakes and then being like, that was a terrible decision, and then making another bad decision. And then before you know it, you're the host of a podcast that's going nowhere. and you don't know how to get out of it. Because now if someone said to me, what are you? Eventually I'd have to say I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm a content creator.
I'm a content creator. I'm a viral sensation.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You think you're going to be one thing. You're not going to be that thing. You think this is going to happen. It's not happened.
Yeah.
Life moves faster than you think. And before you know it, you're 35, you're flying to America, and you've just ordered 4 female body inspector t-shirts because you think they'll get a kick of that over there.
I would love it if you just wore novelty t-shirts every day of your trip to America.
Yeah. Female body inspector. I've got a t-shirt saying, keep Streatham weird. I might wear that.
Oh, you can do that. Got a PhD and then arrow to your pretty shoe stick. It's all stuff like that. That is what would really set apart your trip to
America.
Don't
talk to me till I've had my morning beer. Stuff like that. Like, yeah. if lost, please return to the pub. Stuff like that. Just shit dad t-shirts.
And you can be like, how was your trip to America? And to me, and you can say, do you mean my novelty t-shirt holiday? And it can be the defining characteristic of your holiday, can be your t-shirts.
Yeah, they go, what's America like? Oh, it's good. People laugh at your t-shirts.
A lot.
Like a lot.
People follow you around and go, this guy's t-shirt is hilarious.
The first novelty t-shirt must have been funny.
There
must have been, like, I'm with stupid, like, pointing. Yeah. The first time someone wore that, people must have been like, what is going on? Is this, who, has the government given you this? Have you been given this by the state? Has the mayor told you have to wear that? And you go, no, I bought it in a shop. And it implies the person next to me is stupid. They'd be like, nosebleeds.
Just head, loads of people's eyes explode.
Yeah. It's like, you know when you hear that story about the first time there was a cinema and there was a train and people thought it was a real train. People would be like, oh, I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to be next to him.
Wait a minute, the stupid person changes based on where this person moves. Ah, we can all be stupid.
What was the first novelty t-shirt? Do you think it was that? I'm with stupid.
I think so. I think the first one was just t-shirt was I'm with stupid, but the arrow was pointed upwards. It was really self-hating.
I'm going to write, what is the first novelty t-shirt? Anyway, how long have we done?
We've done about 34 minutes, so we can stop at any point. And we have fulfilled our contractual obligation.
Funny novelty tea. Oh, I don't know. The first rule of tea club is don't talk about tea club. The second rule is always warm the pot. Who is buying that?
That is so shit.
It's had 6 ratings. It's on 4.5 stars on Amazon Fashion. Oh, God. My algorithm is going to really convince me now. Right. Let's have a look at the reviews, shall we?
Is this a review? What's the t-shirt say? The first rule of tea club is don't talk about tea club. The second rule is don't.
Is it always warm the pot? It's about having cups of tea.
I hate that.
Funny shirt. Top review in the United Kingdom. Funny shirt. nice t-shirt, good quality. Ordered on 11th of December 2020 at the heart of the COVID-19 pandemic. We all needed a little pick-me-up.
Someone's just lost a family member, haven't they? And the dad's gone, right, pull the emergency cord here. He's coming down saying, look, I know your mum's dead, but I think this is going to cheer you up, kids. I bought a tea-based t-shirt.
Right, I'm going to look up other novelty t-shirts and reviews. This is a fascinating way to end, because also it will subtly plant the idea of giving reviews for this podcast into the listener, which you should.
And also buying merchandise. We don't have any, but if you have any ideas and also know someone who can manufacture merchandise, then do get in touch.
This t-shirt says, I didn't do it. Oh, wait, that. Yeah, I did do that.
That's funny.
Do you like that?
That is really funny, because he thought he didn't do it, but then he did. That's good stuff, isn't it?
Okay, how about this one? I'm called Grumpy because I'm way too cool to be called Granddad. What the fuck? That's had see any reviews for that? Oh my god, here we go. Loads. First review, just the job. Certainly put a smile on the old man's face, bless him.
He has dementia.
Spot on, thanks. Good fit, decent quality. You can't always guarantee the quality you receive when buying these sort of t-shirts, but on this occasion, I have a very happy dad and a very happy son who purchased the t-shirt to gift to his granddad. Granddad is rather portly. But the XXL fitted him just fine, and the printing is even. Not worn or faded, even after half a dozen washes.
The problem with the world, Sean, is that people want t-shirts like this.
Grumpy Gaga is a running family joke, so this was perfect for us. Who are this? Who is this family, and how do we get people that funny to be a guest on this podcast?
The thing is, yeah, that is the issue, isn't it? You feel like we live in a sort of modern, interesting society, and then you meet the people who make it up, and they just want shit t-shirts.
People just want shit t-shirts. First I drink the coffee, then I do the things. Would you buy that?
No, it just implies I'm going to shit myself.
First I drink the coffee, then I shit and have a panic attack.
Morning.
Now, here's the top comment. Here's the top comment. Very comfortable and funny.
This is better reviews than we've had. Every t-shirt has got better.
Good. My son is wearing it every day and night.
What does he just say? First I drink the coffee, then I...
Then I do the things. It's really comfortable, so he sleeps in it and is wearing it during the day.
I mean,
I think your son has got a serious syndrome.
I mean, yeah.
So me. This is reviewed in the United Kingdom. Love this shirt. Wore it to work today, and everyone said it was perfect for me. Yeah, because everyone at your work thinks you're
hates you. They all hate you. Whoever wrote that review, you're hated in your office. And you know what? Correctly so. Get better t-shirts, you fucking weirdo.
Get better t-shirts, right?
Get failing better t-shirts. We should.
What
have
would
a
be
t-shirt?
A failing better novelty t-shirt? TGIF better. Thank God it's failing better.
Or I think it's got to be Bangladesh Always Wins with like a Pakistan flag.
Here we go. Someone's written, this is one saying, don't worry, I've had both my shots and my booster. And it's two shots of tequila and a pint of beer. Top reviews. Right. Top review. Brother-in-law liked the t-shirt. Well, next review is from Ray Davis. Now, Ray Davis, do you reckon that's the same Ray Davis who's the lead singer of The Kinks? Songwriters of all time.
I imagine it must be.
Well, his review is, with COVID still around, when wearing it, it gets a few laughs with people that I pass or friends that I see when I'm out and about. What a way to live a life. To go on the website and post that.
You can see his lyrical sort of genius, even in that sentence or two, can't you?
From Waterloo Sunset to Lola to funny t-shirt reviews. Is there anything this guy can't write?
What I like about that novelty t-shirt, it's really dived into the culture war in quite a big way for a t-shirt.
Oh my God, now there's loads of coronation t-shirts.
For the king.
The coronation. This is absolutely mad, this world of novelty. This has got to be the easiest money that is made on the internet. People are spending 20 quid on novelty t-shirts.
What does it say? Does it say the Charles has got nothing on these crown jewels? And then I went down to the penis.
I reckon if we made that, printed it, it would make so much money.
Maybe this does become a t-shirt-based podcast.
Yeah. I have neither the time nor the crayons to explain this to you. 658 five-star reviews this t-shirt has got. That is so much more than we've had.
But that's weird though, because wouldn't you... You'd try and explain something with a pen, wouldn't you, rather than a crayon to an adult, surely? I don't think that one makes any sense.
Oh my God. I'm just going through these reviews. Someone's written, it's fine. The material is a bit thin, but overall it's fine. The people moaning about the print quality, read the description. It's supposed to be distressed. I just love the sense of humour. Someone's written that. Listen to Failing Better. If you think that's funny, then if you listen to Failing Better, you'll have a fucking aneurysm. We're so much funnier than that.
It is mad, isn't it? The world of novelty. It'd be good to do a documentary about people who love novelty t-shirts, because there would be some insane people.
I never argue. I just explain why I'm right. Oh, fuck off. Someone's written... Right, here's one. This is actually one that you really like. hand sanitizer, pump 10 to 15 times, then rub in vigorously. And there's an arrow pointing down. That is great stuff.
That's genius. Whoever's come up with that, truly a wonderful
man. I
want to
get them on for all right, well, there you go, listeners. If you think that stuff's worth 5 stars, then surely this is worth 5 stars, because we're telling you the exact same jokes as those T-shirts.
But we're doing it in an ironic way rather than just stealing their content because we think it is so good. I guess this podcast is the novelty T-shirt of the podcast world.
Yeah, we're the novelty T-shirt, yeah. And when we meet our fans on our live show, it's going to be a tragic state of affairs.
It is.
It's going to be like a divorced dad's club.
It'll just be, everyone will be wearing an I'm with stupid T-shirt. And for the first time ever, they'll all be correct.
We should get novelty T-shirts for the live show.
Yeah. It'll just be a round circle of I'm with stupid T-shirts. It'll be like an AA meeting, but for the novelty T-shirt community.
It's going to be a very distressing affair. Anyway, 3rd of November, we'll see you there. I need to go. I've got some stuff to do.
I need to go too. All right, well, it's been lovely chatting, and I wish you have a good time in America, and try not to get shot, I guess.
I'll try not to get shot or ruddy...
Vaccinated.
Or vaccinated. I don't want to let the libs control me.
Different type of shot. We're doing puns now, and they're going pretty well.
God, those T-shirts are funny, actually. Now I think about it, those T-shirts might be the funniest thing in the world. We'll do some episodes when I'm in the States, right? We'll do a couple eps.
I think that'd be lovely, yeah. We can talk all about your American experience and how you've gotten with the novelty T-shirt community.
Yeah, inevitably. Everyone, genuinely, thank you. Do sign up to the Patreon. Extra content every week. 2 hours of stand-up from us.
And you keep supporting this podcast.
And you get to keep supporting us podcast. We want to start up a novelty T-shirt factory.
And we love doing this podcast, and every little bit of money you give helps us to keep the lighting on in our homes and to keep us fully decked out in different types of silly T-shirts, which brings us so much joy.
It brings joy to us and to all of our neighbours.
I just can't wear novelty T-shirts on stage because they're so much more funny than I am. I'm the support act to my novelty T-shirt. What I did, I do like 20 at the top, and then I just put on different novelty T-shirts for an hour, and that's my Edinburgh act.
I think if you were to wear the funniest novelty T-shirt and just go on stage, enough promoters would go, look, he's got a funny T-shirt, it's enough to book him. Let's book him for his T-shirt. Come on, guys. All right, thanks everyone. Give us a 5-star rating, please. Tell your friends. We
Goodbye.
Love failing better. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.